I'm Jeff Clavier. I'm the managing partner of SoftTech VC.
Okay, and tell me a little bit more about your company.
So SoftTech is one of the most active investors in Web 2.0, based in Silicon Valley, in Palo Alto. Started 6 years ago to angel invest in Web 2.0 companies, or what has become Web 2.0. For 3 years, I invested with my own money, did about 20 plus deals, and then raised my first fund, SoftTech VC2, which was one of the first super angel funds, which are all the rage now. Everyone talks about them, but SoftTech was one of the first ones, and did 54 deals out of that $15 million fund over the past 3 years.
And so you said initially you had started investing yourself, so what was your background that brought you into that?
Originally, I'm actually a C developer that has built a lot of applications for the financial markets front office, and my startup was acquired by Reuters in the early 90s, stayed with Reuters for a bunch of time as sort of a CTO, and moved to the US in 2000 to become a venture capitalist. Did 4 years as a what I would I would call a traditional VC, and then decided to go off on my own and to go back to the very early stage of innovation and angel invest, and then do this super angel thing.
So what was the motivation to shift from the VC to this newer angel?
A couple of things. One was the I had sort of seen that there was a new breed of entrepreneurs and companies that were showing up in the the consumer internet space that were tremendously capital efficient, and so for funds that were geared towards trying to invest $5 to $10 million per deal, those companies that just needed $500,000, $1 million to get going and get to some level of scale were just not making the math work. At the opposite, as an angel, being able to invest very early on those companies that were not requiring that much money to get going created a tremendous opportunity to make a lot of money at any level of exit that they could have. And I validated that with, in my own portfolio, having exits going from, 7.5 million to 50 million and eventually 170 million with Mint, where I could make a very large return on the basis of my early investment, where more traditional firms would just make, an okay return but not a great return. And so this whole sort of economics changing around how much does it cost to get going and to prove your initial sort of value proposition and ramp created the opportunity to get those smaller funds like mine to actually make substantial returns where traditional VCs just couldn't.
So I think Rob Hayes was from First Round Capital.
Yes.
Was
mm-hmm.
he also involved with Mint?
Yes. He was the lead investor of the seed round that I invested into.
So he was telling me that there was, his involvement was basically right till the end.
Yep.
When they did. So is that the sort of involvement that you usually do, or how would you describe your involvement and how sort of involved do you get in a company that you're investing in?
So I get involved until the very end, meaning that, I invest typically first money in, like we did in Mint, we could invest together. And I will only exit the company when the company sort of just exits itself. So there's no sort of opportunity or way for me to get out of the train before it actually reaches the station, right? In terms of involvement, my typical sort of involvement is going to be at the very early stage where, the company is just with this first round of capital, in play and needs to get engineers, access to market, help, experience, business development, so on and so forth, and that's what I will typically do. Once I would call traditional VCs are involved, then I will still help support, but the primary responsibility, so to speak, will be on the VCs.
So, what would you describe as a sort of ideal company that you'd want to invest in? And maybe you have an actual example of a company that you're looking at, or you've already invested in recently that would typify that.
Well, Mint was a good example where I met with Aaron, the single founder and only employee at that time, in June, July of 2006, who was extremely impressed by both the guy and the vision, and decided to invest and get involved and support and help and so on and so forth. And then Aaron actually executed on his vision, meaning that you see a lot of entrepreneurs having to pivot and change things or whatever. He actually did exactly what he said he would do. right? And then, you know, we got Shasta Ventures really excited about the opportunity, and they preempted the real first VC round, Series A, and we launched TechCrunch 40 in September of 2007. Actually, was on stage with my mint shirt on that day on the VC panel, and then, you know, mint took off, raised a bunch of money from great investors, and eventually at some point just got to the point where Aaron said, hey, that offer from Intuit actually is interesting to me, and I think that 170 million after 3 years is just a great exit. Let's do it.
So what brings you to the growth conference?
So this is my fourth trip to Canada in the past year. You know, different conferences have created for me the opportunity to sort of start digging in, and I have said about 6 months ago, I think, to a private equity conference in Montreal that, you know, I would never consider investing in Canada until, you know, Section 116 would be sort of blown up, and so now it is. And so, you know, for me, flying to Vancouver and flying to Seattle is kind of the same thing. And so I'm interested to see what's here, what's available, what's in the works in Canada. So I'm certainly really happy to see that this major hurdle that prevented any of us, you know, U.S. investors from this year, you know, is gone. Now I want to see, you know, what sort of attitude, what sort of entrepreneurs are built here. And, you know, what I wanted to mention on my last panel, and I really didn't have the opportunity because we all sort of overrun our time, is that I see some people really doing interesting things, but I see too much, you know, shyness in Canadian entrepreneurs who don't have, you know, the same let's just, you know, kill and eat everything and be competitive and very aggressive and so on and so forth. And so what I would have liked to say is, you know, it's time to grow some balls and understand that now you have the opportunity to really play a great card where, you know, you have great assets, you have great labor. It's much less difficult to hire people here than in Silicon Valley, for example, right now. It's cheaper, plus with all the tax benefits and so on and so forth. Actually, Canada is a very compelling sort of back-end development place to build a company. And maybe what you have to do is to do, you know, back-end here and front-end Silicon Valley, where CEO, sales, and marketing would actually sort of be where the action is and where, you know, business development would happen, so on and so forth. But you have all the advantages of a large workforce in Canada being built. And so I'm sort of starting to look into what's going on here.
Great. And so has there been any sort of highlights for you from this conference?
So I think it's super positive to see the growth conference, and I hope that it's going to happen, you know, again and again. And the fact that Debbie managed, Debbie Landa, the organizer, managed to get a few of us super angels here will sort of lead the path and will show the VCs that it's worth actually coming here, and next year's will be bigger. But, you know, I want to see more aggressiveness. I want to see more questions coming from entrepreneurs. I want to see, like, you know, us being mobbed. You know, when I do those kinds of panels in the U.S., I can't get off the fucking stage, you know, for 30 minutes because people try and get, you know, my cards, my attention, and so on and so forth. Here, people are just, you know, very polite, and, you know, they don't want to, or they don't, you know, they won't do it, but they just have to become much more aggressive.
So when they're in the States, like you're saying, they're not letting you off the stage, what kind of things are they asking you? Anything?
Well, you know, they try to grab your attention, they try and get your business card, try and sort of, you know, get you to say, hey, you know, this is interesting, you know, come and see me. So they're basically there to pitch their company and try and get your attention, because they know that, you know, to get your money at some point, you need to get your attention first.
Do you think that is sort of a process of, like, where we are in our development, or is it a cultural thing, an attitude that we have to change?
To be honest with you, I haven't spent enough time in Canada to sort of make a judgment as to whether it's cultural or just not having the experience or not understanding that this is the way we play. But certainly, That's the way things get done in Silicon Valley. And in order for Canadian entrepreneurs to sort of, you know, get their shot at grabbing people's attention and doing something and so on and so forth, you know, they can either build companies that make money instantly and therefore they don't need the financing ecosystem to sort of notice them, great way, you know, no problem with that. Or that you have to understand that it's not, there's always like a ton of competition out there to grab our money and our attention. So unless you fight that competition for that piece of attention and piece of money, then you won't get it.